It is a privilege for me to be able to come again to open up the Scriptures together. And even there in your own home, perhaps in your living room, we would encourage you to join with us each time around the open book, around the Word of God, and that the Lord might speak to us in these days. Do remember the broadcasts as they continue. It's each Lord's Day at 11:30 a.m. and 7 p.m., and not forgetting as well the boys and girls. There's the Sunday school broadcast at 10:30 every Lord's Day morning. So we encourage the boys and girls to join at that time. Then also on the Monday evening, we have a word at 8 p.m. on a Monday night. And we would encourage you again to come and to bring your Bible and open up the Scriptures. We'll be coming, God willing, tomorrow evening again to the Epistle of James, and that the Lord would give us help as we look together at His Word. I would encourage you just now to turn in your Bible to the Psalm numbered 31. And we trust that you have your Bible to hand and that you open up the Word of God and that you're able to follow in God's precious Word. And for others, there's the word hopefully on the screen as well that you will be able to read together. And the Psalm 31, the title tells us it is to the chief musician, and it is a psalm of David. And we're so grateful to the psalmist David for the psalms that he gives to us. Many times, many occasions, he's able to put into words the very thoughts and the very feeling of our heart. And let us read together God's precious word. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy. For thou hast considered my trouble, thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side while they took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Amen. We'll end our reading there at the 15th verse, and we trust the Lord will add His own blessing to this reading from His own precious and infallible Word. I would like to draw your attention to the opening words of that 15th verse where we concluded our Bible reading. And we read there at the commencement of verse 15, "My times are in thy hand." These are the words that I would like us to consider together today. The psalm was written by David. We are no doubt that he was the author of this psalm. However, we do not know the occasion on which he penned this psalm, other than to know that it was a time of difficulty and it was a time of great trouble in his life. It has therefore been suggested that it was written at the time when David had to flee from King Saul. And even there in our text of Scripture in verse 15, he speaks about needing deliverance from the hand of his enemies and from them that persecuted him. And David did suffer those times of persecution under the hand of King Saul. Others would suggest that the psalm was written at the time of Absalom's rebellion against his father David. Even looking there at the fourth verse, he speaks of the net that had been laid for him, those who were seeking to entrap David. And of course, that time of Absalom's rebellion, it ended with great grief and with great sorrow in the heart of David at the loss of Absalom. And when you look there in verse 9, David is saying, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly." And so David is certainly looking to a time of great sorrow when he was consumed with grief. Again, there are others who suggest that the psalm was written following the time of David's sin with Bathsheba. And of course, that was a time that ended as well with David mourning and with David sorrowing over his sin. When you look there into the 10th verse, he says, "For my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed." And so David refers to his iniquity, and that brought a time of inconsolable grief to the heart of David. And so it's possible that this psalm was penned on one of those occasions. But it has also been suggested, and it is possible, that David here was reflecting back on his life, and he was recalling each of those occasions. And he was looking at times in his life when he really had to prove the Lord, times when he suffered great adversity. And here, as he looks back in his life, he's reflecting and recalling those experiences. And as we read down a portion of the psalm together, we could almost detect the conflict that existed at such times. That conflict between faith and fear. That conflict between our trust in the Lord and our trials. And so often that comes. We will all go through times like that in our life's experience. Maybe even right now, there's someone who is listening and you're going through that time of adversity and trouble. It's a time whenever you know that conflict raging between your faith in the Lord and the fears that you would have. Here today is a psalm to take to heart. Here's a word from the Lord himself for your circumstances. It's a psalm that does make sad reading in places, but it's looking at times in David's life when he was overcome and consumed with grief, times whenever he felt completely forgotten. And really, that's the picture that is painted before us right up to the 14th verse. And when you come to the 14th verse of the psalm, it commences with the conjunction "but." And many times in the Word of God, when you come to this word "but," it acts like a hinge, where things then begin to swing in a different direction. And here the psalmist, having shown us all of his times of trouble, his adversities and his difficulties, he then says, "but." He's brought to think about all of those times of grief and of sorrow, and then he says, "but." And here things begin to turn. And he makes a great declaration. He makes a great statement of faith in verse 14. And he says, "But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my God. Thou art my God." And in the midst of troublesome times, we can come with the psalmist David, and we can trust in the Lord, and we can say of the Lord, "Thou art my God." And those words of David really serve as a preface to our text of Scripture. The two statements really go together. The one at the end of verse 14 and the one at the commencement of verse 15. Whenever you can come to the point where you can say of the Lord, "Thou art my God," you can then go on to say, "My times are in thy hand." They're the words that I want us to really consider together. And the psalmist David was brought to that point where he could say, "My times are in thy hand." And as we consider here these words together, I want you to notice firstly how they speak to us of David's course. David's course, "My times," David said. And the word "times" there refers to the course of David's life. He's looking at all the way the Lord has led him. He's looking back on his pathway of life. He's looking there at all of the twists and turns, all of the circumstances he found himself in, all of life's experiences. David's saying, "My times, all that I have met throughout life's journey." I read about a missionary to Africa at the turn of the last century. His name was Dan Crawford, a Brethren missionary. And he spent many, many years serving the Lord in Africa. And he immersed himself in the culture and in the language of the native African. And he said concerning this particular text of Scripture, "My times are in that hand," that whenever he would come to translate this into the native tongue, he would have to use all the W's and say, "All my ways, all my whens, all my wheres, all my wherefores are in God's hands. My times." Every circumstance of his life. And how varied those circumstances can be. You notice he didn't say "my time." There's an S on the end that's in the plural. And he's saying "my times." All the different kinds of circumstance David could find himself in. There were the good times and there were the bad times. There were the times of sorrow, there were the times of sweetness, there were the highs, the lows, the ups and the downs, the rough and the smooth. My times. You glance ahead to the Psalm 34 and the verse 1, he uses that word "times" again in verse 1. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth," and he's referring there to all times. Again in the Psalm 62 and in the verse 8, he said, "Trust in him at all times, ye people." Trust in him at all times. And all of those varied experiences that we can find ourselves in. It's an all-embracing statement here when David says, "My times." Notice he's speaking personally. He uses the personal possessive pronoun "my." He could have written there in the verse 15 of Psalm 31, "Our times are in thy hand." And that would have been true. He could have spoken just generally about God's people and said, "Our times are in the Lord's hand." And we wouldn't have argued with that, but David wants to speak personally here about his own life's experience, and he says, my times. And we all have different circumstances in life. We all have a different pathway. We all have a different course to follow. And my times will be different to your times. And sometimes we see people who are in very difficult situations. And we see how life has dealt them at times a very difficult blow. Perhaps a serious illness, perhaps a loved one who is unwell, or a sudden loss or bereavement. My times and your times. We're going to face sooner or later troublesome times. Job in the chapter 14 and the verse 1 has spoken about the trouble that man finds in this old world. And he said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Full of trouble. We shouldn't expect to go through life without these adversities and difficulties. No, in fact, the Bible would warn us to expect them. The Bible would teach us that the Christian is not exempt from trouble. The Christian is not immune from trial. We all will have our cares and our struggles and our burdens. But we want to say with Job, he knoweth. He knoweth the way that I take. And if today finds you on that difficult course, thank God we can come to the Lord and we can trust in Him. The course of our life's pathway can have many different twists and turns. William Freeman Lloyd penned the words of the hymn, and he uses our text of Scripture to commence every verse in the hymn. He says, for example, my times are in thy hand, whatever they may be, pleasing or painful, dark or bright, as best may seem to thee. My times are in thy hand. When the Apostle Paul came to the end of his life and he was writing to Timothy, Paul was able to say, I have finished my course. I have finished my course. And there is that course, there is that pathway that's mapped out for each one of us. We want to be able to come with the Apostle Paul and to say, I have finished my course. And so our text of Scripture is speaking about David's course, my times. But I want you to notice, secondly, it also speaks to us about David's confidence. They said, my times are in thy hand. And it takes great faith to be able to say that with sincerity of heart, that we have placed all of our times and all of our circumstances into the hand of the Lord. It takes great faith. Because the tendency of every human heart, we want to take matters into our own hands. And we want to try and sort out our own difficulties and sort out our own troubles. We're forever trying to work it all out by ourselves. And man will forever scheme and plot and even manipulate things in order to take matters into his own hands. It's all in an effort to mark out our own course. But when we come to see our steps are ordered by the Lord, then we can commit everything into the Lord's hands. And David had done that. When you look back in the psalm to the fifth verse, he said, into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. And David was showing here that he had committed everything into the Lord's hand. And so David was not here seeking to take matters into his own hands. He had realized his own inability. He found himself at times in situations that were beyond him, times when he was overwhelmed of himself. He had to put everything into the Lord's hand. Psalm 31 and the verse 5 really reminds us of Calvary. The cry of the Savior from the cross, that final cry from Calvary. The seventh word from the lips of the Lord was a cry of submission, handing everything over to the Father. Into thy hand I commend my spirit. And here David is showing us that submission to the Lord when he says, my times are in thy hand, submitting to the sovereignty of God. It's a little chorus that we teach to the boys and girls. Father, into thy hands I place into your hands. And we place into the hands of the Father everything that we can't do. Father, I place into your hands my friends and family. We should be placing everything into the Lord's hands. There is a blessedness there. There is a peace there when we can come with confidence to place our times into God's hand. There's a hymn in our book and it says, sovereign ruler of the skies, ever faithful, ever wise, all my times are in thy hand, all events at thy command. Our times are not in our own hands. But praise God, our times are not in the hands of our enemies. You know, that's what really David is showing us here in this particular psalm. If we were to refer to the time whenever he was being pursued by King Saul, and King Saul was wanting to take David's life, there seemed at times there where David was surrounded and there was no way of escape, and it seemed that he was in Saul's hand. In 1 Samuel chapter 23, those words are actually used. 1 Samuel 23 and the verse 7, and it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. And Saul said, God hath delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars. And there was David in Keilah, and Saul felt, I've got him this time. He's in my hand. But when we go on down that chapter and we come to 1 Samuel 23 and the verse 14, we see that it's not the case. And David abode in the wilderness in strongholds and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God delivered him not into his hand. You see what it says of David at that time of trouble? He was being persecuted. God delivered him not into Saul's hand. Praise God, our times are not in the hands of our enemies. And so when we think here of David placing his times, his circumstances into the hand of the Lord, it doesn't mean that we live that carefree, careless life with that careless attitude. Whatever will be, will be. No, it's a coming with a sincere heart and by faith placing everything into the hands of the Lord, acknowledging that as we do so, that our circumstances are not in our own hands, and praise God, they're not in the hands of our enemies, but they're in the hands of the Lord. We place our times into the hands of one who is a sovereign God, one who is infinitely wise, whose ways are much higher than our ways. And our finite minds cannot always understand the ways of the Lord, but we do say, as for God, his way is perfect. David shows us in the Psalm 31 that he had that confidence and trust in the Lord. You look at the verse 19, he had confidence there in the Lord's goodness. Oh, how great is thy goodness which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men, the great goodness of the Lord. And David had confidence in that. He had confidence also in the grace of God. When you look at verse 21, blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. The marvelous kindness, the loving kindness, the grace, that undeserving favor of the Lord toward his people, toward them that trust in him. It's the goodness and grace of God that will never fail the child of God. And in this, we can be confident. We can say with David, my times are in thy hand. But not only does the text of Scripture speak to us about David's course and David's confidence, but they speak to us about David's comfort. What a comfort it is to be able to say, my times are in thy hand. You think here of the Lord and their times being in his hand. You think of the strength of the Lord's hand. The Lord's hand is spoken of many times in the Bible, and the strength of that hand comes out so clearly. In Deuteronomy chapter 5 and the verse 15, it's speaking about Israel's deliverance out of Egypt, and the Lord wants his people to remember what he had done for them. And he said in Deuteronomy 5 and 15, and remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. And as the Lord reminds his people here of the great deliverance that he wrought for them, he said it was through a mighty hand. The mighty hand of the Lord. That mighty hand of the Lord has not lost any of its strength and power. The Lord's hand today is not shortened that it cannot save. The Apostle Peter is the one who exhorts us to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of the Lord. My times are in thy hand, the strength of that hand. You think of the supply of that hand, and the word in the original actually indicates an open hand. It speaks about a hand that is giving. And truly the Lord has opened wide to us his hand, opened wide the hand of blessing. That hymn, great is thy faithfulness. It says, all I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And as Paul wrote to the Philippians, he reminded them, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The hand of the Lord, we can see it to be a strong hand, a supplying hand. It's a supporting hand. We're familiar with the words in Isaiah 41 and the verse 10. That makes reference to the hand of the Lord. The Lord said to his people, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. The right hand of God's righteousness. That's the hand by which he supports his people and he upholds his people in those times of trouble. The hand of the Lord, it's a shepherding hand. It's a hand that guides and directs his people. It's a hand that points the way. And we want to be directed by the Lord. We want to be led by his hand, his loving hand. What a comfort it is to know that the Lord shepherds, the Lord leads, the Lord guides his people. The hand of the Lord, it's a saving hand. Many times through the Psalms, you would read about the Lord's hand delivering his people. But just to read one of them for the sake of time, the Psalm 17 and the verse 7, "Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee." The Lord saves with his mighty hand. He saves all that put their trust in him. In Isaiah 49 and the verse 16, the Lord said of his people, "I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands." And thank God, as we think of the hand of the Lord, and we think of those saving hands, the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ that were pierced for us as he was nailed to the tree, hands that shed his precious blood. The psalmist in Psalm 22 speaks about those pierced hands. Thank God for the saving hand of the Lord. He is able to save to the uttermost all them that come unto God through him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. And I want to say finally of the Lord's hand, it's a secure hand. Those today who are in the hand of the Lord, that's the most secure place you could ever be. The Lord spoke in John chapter 10, and he spoke about his sheep. And in verse 28, he said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man be able to pluck them out of my hand." May those that have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ today were safe. We're in the Lord's hand. We're secure there and will never be plucked out of his hand. Thank God we can say, "My times are in thy hand." And that's where we want to be, in the hand of a loving God, and to know his security, to know his peace. Charles Spurgeon, he spoke about a man in his congregation who was a watchmaker. And he made many watches, but sadly that man was to take ill. He was to end up in an asylum. And there in the asylum, he got to a stage where he couldn't stand the ticking of the watches. And he smashed every one of them. The hand that had made them, the hand that had created them, was the hand that smashed them and destroyed them. When we think of the Lord and his hand, he's the complete opposite. The one who has created us, the one who has made us, the one who has loved us and gave himself for us. That when we come to trust in him, we're secure in his loving hand. And he will never let us go. What a comfort. What a place of peace and of rest. Certainly for the days in which we find ourselves. I encourage each one of you today to come with the psalmist David and to say, "My times are in thy hand." May God bless his word to each of our hearts this day.